Welcome to your second full mock exam. This is a completely new set of 75 questions. Nothing here repeats what you saw in the first mock exam. Same format as before. 75 questions, 90 minutes, 70% to pass. That's 53 correct. No penalty for guessing, so never leave a blank. This video groups questions by chapter for review. The real exam shuffles them. Chapter 1. License Law and Regulation. 7 questions. Question 1. How long must a broker retain transaction records in New York? A. 1 year. B. 3 years. C. 7 years. D. Indefinitely. The answer is B. 3 years. This applies to transaction files, escrow records, and related documentation. Question 2. A team of salespeople wants to advertise under a team name. Under New York rules, that name must not A. include the word team or group. B. imply the team is an independently licensed brokerage. C. include any agent's own name. D. appear on business cards. The answer is B. A team name cannot imply independent brokerage status. The team still operates entirely under its sponsoring broker. Question 3. A seller receives 3 offers on the same day. What is the listing agent's duty? A. present only the highest offer. B. present all offers to the seller. C. reject offers below asking price automatically. D. wait until only one offer remains. The answer is B. present all offers. The seller decides which to accept, counter, or reject. The agent does not pre-filter on the seller's behalf. Question 4. A valid listing agreement in New York must include A. a definite expiration date. B. a minimum commission of 6%. C. the buyer's name in advance. D. a notarized signature. The answer is A. a definite expiration date. There is no fixed commission rate in New York. Commission is always negotiable between broker and client. Question 5. A person helps negotiate a single property sale for a fee without a real estate license. This is A. legal, since it was only one transaction. B. a license law violation, regardless of how many transactions. C. legal if the fee is under $1,000. D. legal only for family members. The answer is B. Even one transaction for compensation requires a license. There is no minimum transaction threshold or dollar exemption. Question 6. In a net listing, the broker's compensation is A. a fixed percentage set by law. B. whatever is negotiated as a flat fee. C. any amount above a minimum price the seller sets to net. D. paid only by the buyer. The answer is C. The broker keeps anything sold above the seller's set net price. Net listings are legal in New York, but discouraged, since they can pit the broker's interest against the seller's. Question 7. Which of the following is generally required for a non-resident to hold a New York real estate license? A. a New York residence within 1 year. B. consent to accept legal service through the New York Secretary of State. C. a separate non-resident exam. D. sponsorship by a New York-born broker only. The answer is B. non-residents consent to accept legal service through the New York Secretary of State. That's the standard mechanism states use to license people who live elsewhere. Chapter 2. Agency Relationships. 8 questions. Question 8. An unrepresented buyer working directly with a seller's agent is called the agent's A. client. B. customer. C. principal. D. subagent. The answer is B. a customer. The agent still owes honesty and fair dealing, but not the full fiduciary duties reserved for their actual client. Question 9. A real estate broker representing a seller in one specific transaction is typically what type of agent? A. general agent. B. special agent. C. universal agent. D. subagent. The answer is B. a special agent. Authority limited to one specific deal, unlike a general agent who handles ongoing matters across many transactions. Question 10. A principal later approves an act their agent took without prior authorization. This after-the-fact approval is called A. ratification. B. rescission. C. novation. D. estoppel. The answer is A. ratification. It retroactively validates the agent's unauthorized act as though it had been authorized from the beginning. Question 11. An agency relationship created entirely through the party's conduct, without a signed agreement, is A. express agency. B. implied agency. C. ostensible authority only, never valid. D. illegal in New York. The answer is B. implied agency, formed by the party's actions and behavior rather than a formal agreement. Question 12. When does an agent's duty of confidentiality to a former client typically end? A. The moment the listing expires. B. It does not automatically end at closing. It can survive the relationship. C. As soon as a new agent is hired. D. It never applies once the deal closes. The answer is B. Confidentiality is the one duty that can outlast the relationship itself. A past client's confidential information stays protected even after closing. Question 13. A buyer tells the seller's agent their absolute maximum price, unprompted. What should the agent do? A. Keep it confidential from the seller, since it's the buyer's private information. B. Disclose it to the seller, since the agent's duty of disclosure runs to their client. C. Only disclose it if the seller asks directly. D. The answer is B. Disclose. Question 14. Which of these ends an agency relationship? The answer is B. With the property destroyed, there's nothing left for the agency to accomplish. It can also end by expiration, completion, mutual agreement, or death or incapacity of a party. Question 15. A broker represents the seller. Their salesperson also, without full disclosure, tries to help the buyer negotiate a lower price. This is A. acceptable teamwork. B. A breach of the duty of loyalty owed to the seller. C. Required under designated agency. D. Only a problem if the seller finds out. The answer is B. A breach of the duty of loyalty. Undisclosed dual representation is a serious violation regardless of intent and regardless of whether it's ever discovered. Chapter 3. Real Estate Contracts. 8 questions. Question 16. A contract that has been fully performed by both sides is called A. executory. B. executed. C. voidable. D. bilateral only. The answer is B. executed, meaning fully performed. An executory contract still has obligations left outstanding on one or both sides. Question 17. An open listing, where only the broker who produces a buyer earns a commission, is an example of A. A. bilateral contract. B. unilateral contract. C. void contract. D. executory contract only. The answer is B. a unilateral contract. Only the broker's promise is conditional on performance. The seller isn't obligated to anyone unless a buyer is actually produced. Question 18. A buyer's offer is contingent on selling their current home first. If they can't sell it in time, this contingency typically allows the buyer to A. be forced to close anyway. B. cancel the contract and recover their deposit. C. automatically extend the closing by 1 year. D. lose their deposit with no recourse. The answer is B. A sale of current home contingency lets the buyer cancel and get their deposit back if they can't sell in time, an important protection when the buyer needs those proceeds to fund the new purchase. Question 19. Canceling a contract and restoring both parties to their position before the contract existed is called A. novation. B. assignment. C. rescission. D. ratification. The answer is C. rescission. It unwinds the contract entirely, as though it never happened. Question 20. A buyer pays $2,000 for the exclusive right, but not the obligation, to purchase a property within 60 days at a fixed price. This is A. A. option contract. B. contingent contract. C. bilateral listing. D. net contract. The answer is A. an option contract. The buyer has paid for the right to decide, not a binding obligation to actually purchase. Question 21. A contract clause stating that the written agreement represents the entire understanding between the parties, overriding prior verbal promises, is called A. A. contingency clause. B. escalation clause. C. merger or integration clause. D. habendum clause. The answer is C. a merger or integration clause. It means the signed document supersedes earlier verbal or written promises made during negotiation. Question 22. a seller refuses to close despite a fully valid contract. The buyer sues and asks the court to force the sale to proceed. This remedy is called A. liquidated damages. B. specific performance. C. rescission. D. escrow forfeiture. The answer is B. specific performance. A court order compelling the seller to actually complete the sale, since real property is considered legally unique. Question 23. For a contract to be valid, the parties must reach a genuine meeting of the minds. This concept is also called A. consideration. B. mutual assent. C. legal capacity. D. statute of frauds. The answer is B. mutual assent. Both parties genuinely agreeing to the same terms, without fraud, duress, or a real misunderstanding. Chapter 4. Fair Housing Law. 6 questions. Question 24. A tenant with a disability asks a no-pets building to allow a service animal. The building must A. deny the request, since it's a no-pets policy. B. grant a reasonable accommodation to its policy. C. charge a special pet deposit instead. D. only allow it in ground floor units. The answer is B. grant a reasonable accommodation. Fair housing law requires exceptions like this for people with disabilities, even against an otherwise valid blanket policy. Question 25. A tenant with a mobility disability wants to install a wheelchair ramp at their own expense. This is an example of A. reasonable accommodation. B. reasonable modification. C. blockbusting exception. D. steering allowance. The answer is B. a reasonable modification. A physical change to the property, usually at the tenant's own cost, that a landlord generally must permit. Question 26. A rental ad reads, walking distance to St. Joseph's Church. This wording could most directly implicate which protected category? A. religion. B. familial status. C. disability. D. national origin. The answer is A. religion. Referencing a specific religious institution in an ad can be read as signaling a preference, even unintentionally. Question 27. Fair housing enforcement organizations sometimes send matched pairs of applicants who differ only in a protected characteristic to see if they're treated differently. This practice is called A. blockbusting. B. testing. C. redlining. D. puffery. The answer is B. testing, a recognized, legitimate method used to detect discriminatory treatment under real-world conditions. Question 28. An owner who lives in a small multifamily building and rents out one unit may, in very limited circumstances, fall under an exemption to certain fair housing provisions. However, this exemption, A. never applies to any owner-occupied property. B. applies broadly to all real estate licensees regardless of ownership. C. does not shield a real estate licensee from fair housing obligations. D. applies to any rental regardless of size. The answer is C. Even where a narrow owner-occupant exemption might apply to the owner personally, a licensed real estate agent handling the transaction stays fully bound by fair housing law. Question 29. New York City's human rights law protects additional categories beyond even the state law, including A. lawful occupation and immigration or alienage status. B. property value. C. zip code of prior residence. D. preferred school district. The answer is A. New York City adds its own protections on top of the state's, including lawful occupation and alienage or citizenship status, a reminder that local law can protect even more than the state does. Chapter 5. Real Estate Finance. 6 questions. Question 30. In an amortizing loan, as the loan matures over time, each payment's principal to interest ratio, A, stays exactly the same every month. B, shifts toward more principal and less interest. C, shifts toward more interest and less principal. D, is entirely interest until the final payment. The answer is B. Even though the total payment stays level, the split shifts over time toward more principal and less interest as the loan matures. Question 31. A loan structured with small payments followed by one large final payment is called A. A. purchase money mortgage. B. balloon mortgage. C. blanket mortgage. D. wraparound mortgage? The answer is B, a balloon mortgage. Regular payments don't fully retire the loan, leaving a large lump sum due at the end. Question 32. A homeowner takes out a second loan against their property, in addition to their existing first mortgage. This second loan is A, automatically illegal. B, a junior lien, subordinate to the first mortgage. C, senior to the first mortgage automatically. D, the same priority as the first mortgage. The answer is B, a junior lien, subordinate to the first mortgage. In a foreclosure, the first mortgage gets paid before the second. Question 33. An FHA-insured loan differs from a conventional loan primarily because A, it requires no down payment ever. B, the loan is insured by a government agency, reducing lender risk. C, only veterans qualify. D, it cannot be used for a primary residence. The answer is B, government insurance reduces the lender's risk, which is why FHA loans often allow lower down payments and more flexible qualifying standards. Question 34. A law capping the maximum interest rate that can legally be charged on a loan is called A, usury law. B, truth in lending law. C, escrow law. D, recording statute. The answer is A, usury law. It sets the legal ceiling on interest rates lenders can charge. Question 35. A homeowner's equity in their property is calculated as A, the original purchase price only. B, current market value minus any outstanding loan balance. C, total square footage times price per square foot. D, annual property tax multiplied by years owned. The answer is B, market value minus the outstanding loan balance, what the owner would actually keep after paying off the mortgage from a sale. Chapter 6. Real property and ownership. 8 questions. Question 36. Is community property a recognized form of marital ownership in New York? A. Yes, it is the default for all married couples. B. No, New York is not a community property state. C. Only for property purchased before the marriage. D. Only for co-ops, not condos. The answer is B. New York is an equitable distribution state, not a community property state, an important distinction from states like California. Question 37. A landowner's rights to use adjacent water, such as a river bordering their property, are called A, riparian rights. B, littoral rights only. C, subsurface rights. D, air rights. The answer is A, riparian rights, specifically for flowing water like a river. Littoral rights is the related term for owners bordering still water, like a lake. Question 38. The right to develop or sell the space above a property, separate from the land itself, is called A, air rights. B, riparian rights. C, subsurface rights. D, homestead rights. The answer is A, air rights. In dense cities like New York, these are commonly sold or transferred separately from the land beneath them. Question 39. A neighbor builds a fence that extends 2 feet onto your property line. This is an example of A, an easement. B, an encroachment. C, a license. D, a profit. The answer is B, an encroachment, an unauthorized physical intrusion onto someone else's land. An easement is a legal right to use land. This is neither legal nor authorized. Question 40. To claim adverse possession in New York, a claimant's use of the land generally must be open, notorious, hostile, continuous, and last at least A, 5 years. B, 10 years. C, 20 years. D, 30 years. The answer is B, 10 years. Along with the time requirement, the use must be open, notorious, hostile, meaning without the owner's permission, and continuous. Question 41. Which of the following is classified as personal property rather than real property? A, a built-in dishwasher. B, a freestanding refrigerator not built into cabinetry. C, an in-ground pool. D, a permanently installed HVAC system. The answer is B, a freestanding refrigerator. Not permanently attached, so it stays personal property, also called a chattel. The other three are fixtures, and therefore real property. Question 42. A property owner sells the mineral and drilling rights beneath their land while keeping the surface rights. This is an example of A, adverse possession. B, severance of subsurface rights. C, repair and transfer. D, a leasehold estate. The answer is B, severance of subsurface rights. Surface, air, and subsurface rights can each be owned and sold separately from one another. Question 43. Combining two adjoining lots into one larger parcel, which increases the combined value beyond the sum of the two separate lots, illustrates the concept of A, plottage or assemblage value. B, highest and best use only. C, functional obsolescence. D, riparian value. The answer is A, plottage value, created through assemblage. The combined parcel is often worth more than the two individual lots added together. Chapter 7, Land Use, Zoning, and Environmental Issues. 5 questions. Question 44. A municipality rezones a single small parcel differently from every surrounding property, benefiting one owner with no consistent planning rationale. This is A, a legal variance. B, spot zoning, generally not favored and often challengeable. C, a special use permit. D, eminent domain. The answer is B, spot zoning. Singling out one parcel inconsistently with its surroundings and the area's comprehensive plan is generally disfavored and can be legally challenged. Question 45. Zoning ordinances regulate land use and density. Building codes primarily regulate A, construction standards and safety of the structure itself. B, property tax rates. C, school district boundaries. D, historic landmark status. The answer is A. Zoning governs how land can be used. Building codes govern how whatever gets built on it must actually be constructed for safety. Question 46. A developer wants to divide a large parcel into multiple new residential lots. This process requires approval under A, subdivision regulations. B, the statute of frauds. C, RESPA. D, fair housing law. The answer is A, subdivision regulations, governing how land can be split into smaller lots, including infrastructure and access requirements. Question 47. Certain larger New York development projects must undergo an environmental review process under state law before approval. This process is called A, SECRA review. B, RESPA disclosure. C, TILA review. D, SG proceedings. The answer is A, SECRA, the State Environmental Quality Review Act, which requires environmental review for qualifying development projects in New York. Question 48. A property has an old underground fuel storage tank on it. Which of the following is true? A, it creates no disclosure or environmental concern. B, it may pose an environmental liability that should be disclosed and investigated. C, it automatically voids any sale contract. D, it only matters for commercial properties. The answer is B. Underground storage tanks can leak and contaminate soil or groundwater. Real environmental liability that should be disclosed and investigated. Chapter 8, Valuation and Appraisal. 5 questions. Question 49. The price a property actually sold for is called its market price. The most probable price it should sell for in a competitive, open market is called its A, assessed value. B, market value. C, replacement cost. D, insured value. The answer is B, market value, an estimate, not a guaranteed outcome. Market price is simply what it actually sold for, which can differ from the estimated market value. Question 50. An appraisal report always specifies a particular date. Why does this date matter? A, it has no real effect on the appraisal. B, value is time sensitive, and the appraisal reflects value as of that specific date. C, it only matters for legal disputes. D, it determines the appraiser's fee. The answer is B. Markets move over time, so an appraisal is only meaningful as an estimate of value as of that specific date. Question 51. An appraiser identifies that a home's outdated wiring could be fixed relatively affordably, adding more value than the repair costs. This is A, incurable functional obsolescence. B, curable depreciation. C, external obsolescence. D, physical deterioration, non-curable. The answer is B, curable depreciation. The cost to fix it is less than the value it adds back, making the repair economically worthwhile. Question 52. After completing all three appraisal approaches, the appraiser weighs their reliability for this specific property to arrive at a single final value estimate. This final step is called A. Reconciliation. B. Assemblage. C. Depreciation. D. Capitalization. The answer is A. Reconciliation. It's a judgment call weighing which approach is most reliable for this property, not a simple average of the three numbers. Question 53. Which appraisal approach relies on the principle that a buyer won't pay more for a property than the cost to acquire a similar substitute? A. Cost approach. B. Sales comparison approach, built on the principle of substitution. C. Income approach. D. Reconciliation approach. The answer is B. The sales comparison approach is built directly on the principle of substitution. Comparable recent sales establish what a rational buyer would actually pay. Chapter 9. Real Estate Math. 8 Questions. Question 54. A home sells for $525,000 with a 5.5% commission. What is the total commission? A. $2,887.50. B. $28,875. C. $52,500. D. $57,750. The answer is B. $28,875. 525,000 times 0.055 equals 28,875. Question 55. Total commission on a sale is $18,000. The brokerage's split is 45%, and the agent's split of that is 70%. How much does the agent take home? A. $5,670. B. $8,100. C. $12,600. D. $18,000. The answer is A. $5,670. 18,000 times 45% is 8,100 to the brokerage. 8,100 times 70% is 5,670 to the agent. Question 56. A buyer takes out a $410,000 loan and is charged 2.5 points. How much are the points in dollars? A. $1,025. B. $4,100. C. $10,250. D. $16,400. The answer is C. $10,250. 1 point is 1% of 410,000, which is 4,100. 2.5 points is 4,100 times 2.5, which is 10,250. Question 57. Annual property taxes are $8,760. Using a 365-day year, what is the daily proration rate? A. $2.40. B. $24. C. $240. D. $730. The answer is B. $24 per day. 8,760 divided by 365 equals $24 exactly. Question 58. A rental property generates $72,000 in net operating income and is valued at $900,000. What is the cap rate? A. 6%. B. 8%. C. 9%. D. 12.5%. The answer is B. 8%. Cap rate equals NOI divided by value. 72,000 divided by 900,000 equals 0.08, or 8%. Question 59. A property is priced at $380,000 and generates $47,500 in annual gross rent. What is the gross rent multiplier? A. 0.125. B. 0.8. C. 8. D. 12.5. The answer is C. 8. GRM equals price divided by annual gross rent. 380,000 divided by 47,500 equals 8 exactly. Question 60. A rectangular lot measures 120 feet by 175 feet. How many square feet is it? A. 295. B. 21,000. C. 2,100. D. 210,000. The answer is B. 21,000 square feet. Length times width. 120 times 175 equals 21,000. Question 61. A property is assessed at $240,000, and the local tax rate is 28 mils. What is the annual property tax? Remember, 1 mil equals $1 per $1,000 of assessed value. A. $67.20. B. $672. C. $6,720. D. $67,200. The answer is C. $6,720. $240,000 divided by 1,000 is 240. 240 times 28 equals 6,720. Chapter 10. Leases and Landlord-Tenant Law. 6 questions. Question 62. A tenant leases only the land and constructs their own building on it, which they own during the lease term. This is A. A. Gross lease. B. Ground lease. C. Percentage lease. D. Net lease. The answer is B. A ground lease. The tenant leases just the land and typically owns whatever they build on it during the lease term. Question 63. A company sells its office building to an investor, then immediately signs a lease to keep operating from that same building as a tenant. This arrangement is called A. A. Ground lease. B. Sale leaseback. C. Percentage lease. D. Net-net lease. The answer is B. A sale leaseback. The seller converts ownership into cash while retaining the right to keep using the property, now as a tenant. Question 64. A commercial lease ties annual rent increases to the consumer price index. This type of clause is called A. A. Escalation clause. B. Habendum clause. C. Merger clause. D. Estoppel clause. The answer is A. An escalation clause ties rent increases to a defined index, protecting the landlord against inflation over a long lease term. Question 65. A tenant wants to sublet their apartment for the summer while they're away. In most standard New York leases, this typically A. requires no permission of any kind. B. requires the landlord's consent per the lease terms. C. is automatically prohibited in every case. D. automatically terminates the original lease. The answer is B. Subletting typically requires the landlord's consent under the lease terms, and the original tenant generally stays responsible for the lease throughout. Question 66. A landlord shuts off a tenant's utilities and changes the locks without a court order to force them out over unpaid rent. In New York, this is A. A legal self-help remedy. B. An illegal lockout. Eviction requires a court proceeding. C. Legal only for commercial tenants. D. Legal if rent is more than 30 days late. The answer is B. An illegal lockout. Self-help eviction is prohibited in New York regardless of how much rent is owed. A landlord must go through the court process. Question 67. A retail tenant pays a base rent plus a percentage of their store's monthly gross sales. This lease structure is called A. A. Ground lease. B. Gross lease. C. Percentage lease. D. Net-net-net or triple net lease. The answer is C. A percentage lease, common in shopping centers, tying part of the rent to how well the tenant's business actually performs. Chapter 11. Closing and Settlement. 3 questions. Question 68. Recording a deed with the county clerk primarily serves to A. Transfer ownership itself. Recording is what makes the sale legal. B. Provide constructive notice to the public of the ownership change. C. Set the property's assessed tax value. D. Waive the buyer's title insurance requirement. The answer is B. Constructive notice. Ownership actually transfers at delivery and acceptance of the deed. Recording puts the world on notice and protects the buyer's priority against later claims. Question 69. In many New York residential transactions, it is standard practice, though not a state legal requirement, for each party to have A. a licensed appraiser present at signing. B. their own attorney review the contract before signing. C. a notary public co-sign every page. D. a second broker as a witness. The answer is B. attorney review before signing. This is deeply customary in New York, even though it isn't a statewide legal mandate the way it is in some other states. Question 70. Which deed offers the buyer the least amount of protection against title defects? A. General warranty deed. B. Special warranty deed. C. Quick claim deed. D. Bargain and sale deed with covenant. The answer is C. A quick claim deed. It conveys whatever interest the grantor happens to have, with zero warranties or guarantees about the title. Chapter 12, the final chapter. New York specific topics. 5 questions. Question 71. Under New York's Property Condition Disclosure Act, a seller who does not complete the disclosure statement must instead A. Cancel the sale automatically. B. Credit the buyer $500 at closing. C. Pay a state fine directly to the DOS. D. Hire a second attorney. The answer is B. A $500 credit to the buyer at closing, in lieu of completing the disclosure form. This is a distinctly New York rule worth remembering. Question 72. A residential sale within New York City may be subject to which additional transfer tax, on top of the state-level transfer tax? A. A federal capital gains surtax. B. The NYC real property transfer tax, or RPTT. C. A co-op flip tax mandated statewide. D. A rent stabilization surcharge. The answer is B. The NYC real property transfer tax, layered on top of New York State's own transfer tax specifically for property within the 5 boroughs. Question 73. New York City buildings with 3 or more residential units are generally subject to which additional regulatory framework beyond standard state landlord-tenant law? A. The multiple dwelling law. B. Federal fair housing law only. C. The statute of frauds. D. SECRA. The answer is A. The multiple dwelling law, adding extra safety, maintenance, and occupancy requirements for qualifying multi-unit buildings. Question 74. Before a building can be legally occupied in New York, it generally must have a valid A. Certificate of occupancy. B. Mansion tax receipt. C. Co-op board letter. D. Star exemption filing. The answer is A. A certificate of occupancy, confirming the building meets code for its intended use before anyone can legally occupy it. Question 75, the final question. New York's school tax relief program, which reduces property taxes for many owner-occupied primary residences, is known by the abbreviation A. STAR, B. SECRA, C. RPTT, D. PCDS. The answer is A. STAR, the school tax relief exemption, reducing school property taxes for qualifying owner-occupied primary residences. That's the end of the exam. That's mock exam number 2, complete. Score yourself. 53 correct or more is a passing score on the real thing. Between this exam and the first one, that's 150 fresh questions in the real exam format. Keep drilling the rest of the question bank at NewYorkRealEstatePrep.com.